Like to ask you to turn back in your Bibles tonight to 2 Kings chapter 5. Young people, I don't know about you, but I heard a discordant word injected into the service tonight, and that word is August. Guess what happens in August? School starts back. And my question tonight is, where have June and July gone? Time is going by very rapidly. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 2. I didn't mean to rub salt in the wound. I just thought I would see if you picked up on that. Let's read it, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do indeed need you, even more than our hearts and minds can conceive. We need you to direct our hearts and teach our hearts tonight as we look into your word. We believe that there are things here that we need to know, things that you consider to be important, things that will help us to be a testimony for you here in this world. And we pray that you would remind us of those things tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought that tonight, for a few minutes, while our minds are still somewhat fresh on the things that we talked about this morning, that we would come back and try to finish up our thoughts on this little maid here in 2 Kings chapter 5 and what she teaches us about being a witness for the Lord. This morning we noted in verse 2 the words "little" and "waited." And we saw that they are words of preparation that preceded the words of witness that this little maid spoke. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she did it with a countenance that reflected a heart that was humbled and surrendered to the Lord. So her words for the Lord were preceded by her walk with the Lord. There was a consistency between her walk and her words. a consistency that resulted in the power of God, as we're going to see, being upon her life. Let's look at her words. Let's look at her witness in verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Will you notice that she witnessed for the Lord where she was? Now that might seem like much too simple a point, and it is. But you know, people stumble over it every day. Christians stumble over it every day. We are to be a witness for the Lord right where we are. And if we aren't a witness for the Lord right here, then it's not very logical to think that we're going to be a witness for the Lord just because we travel halfway around the world. It's so easy to get the idea that serving the Lord means Africa or China or South America or India. And I'm not suggesting that the Lord never calls people to those places. He does. But I don't believe it's many. For the overwhelming majority of believers, God's will is for you to be a witness right where you are. We notice something else here. And it's similar to the first point. This little maid was a witness right on her job. In the context of what she was doing on a daily basis, waiting and serving Naaman's wife, she was a witness for the Lord. Our job, in all likelihood, will provide one of the greatest opportunities for us to be a witness for the Lord. Think about it. If you sleep 8 hours a day, and I know some of you sleep more than that, some of you sleep less than that, but it's a pretty good number. If you sleep 8 hours a day, then at least 50% of the rest of our waking time for 5 or 6 days a week is spent at work. That means our job provides tremendous opportunities to be a witness for the Lord. That's where this little maid was a witness, on her job. And let's notice again her witness. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Her witness for the Lord was 20 words. Wasn't long. It wasn't a dissertation from the book of Romans on the subject of salvation. It was 20 words. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." 20 words. Sometimes our witness can be one word. When we just mention the Lord's name in a conversation, and I'm not talking about bringing it into the conversation in vain. Sometimes our witness can be as few as just 2 words. When we say the words, "Lord willing." You want to surprise people sometime? Say that. "Lord willing, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, or we're going to go here, or we're going to go there." And it's not that we're so spiritual to say that. God says to say that. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. We should say, "If the Lord will." That's being a witness. And what we see here is that these 20 words spoken by this little maid, spoken with the preparation that we saw in verse 2, little and weighted. The words spoken by this little maid who saw herself as insignificant and unimportant were heard and used by none other than the king himself. Look at verse 4. And one went in. Wonder who that one was. Interesting to think about. And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the king of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." The witness of this little maid was heard by the king, and he took those words and used them. He took those words, those 20 little words, and he acted upon them. Folks, the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, does the same thing. He takes the witness of little and weighted believers. Believers that see themselves as unimportant and insignificant. He takes those little words that we have an opportunity to speak, and he hears them, and he takes those words, and by the power of his Spirit, he uses those words, and he acts on those words to convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The King of Kings uses those words to expose the hearts of those who hear them. The Lord used the words of this little maid to expose the heart of the king of Israel. The king of Syria took her words and he wrote this letter to the king of Israel. And those words were used by God to expose the heart of the king of Israel. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." I and me. That's what the king of Israel was concerned with. And that was exposed by the words of the king of Syria in the letter that the king took from the words of the little maid. And could I say tonight that that is what all the kings of this world are concerned with? The kings that we come in contact with every day. Everybody that we come in contact with is a king. They have a domain over which they have a kingdom over which they're the king. They're the ruler. And what the kings that we come in contact with are concerned with is I and me and mine. And the attitude of this king of Israel toward the message of this little maid is the same attitude that the kings of this world have toward the witness of God's people. Look at the end of verse 7. The king obviously looks around in his court and he says, "Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." The words of this little maid were fighting words. They were words of war to the king of Israel. They were upsetting words to the king of Israel. And folks, they're fighting words and words of war to the kings around us. They're offensive words to those who are lost. what we have in these verses is an example of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:15. He said, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are lost and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life." The words of this little maid were a savor of life unto life to Naaman, but they were a savor of death unto death to the king of Israel, because he rejected the message of the gospel. He rejected the witness of this little maid that there was a prophet in Israel that could take away leprosy. And his rejection of it further hardened his heart against the truth. The witness of this little maid, these 20 words, spoke to the heart of Naaman and exposed the heart of the king of Israel. And the opportunities that the Lord gives us to be a witness will do the same thing. There are those who the words that we speak will speak to their hearts. There are others that will become angry because the words that we speak, the Lord will use to expose their hearts. Now notice verse 8. "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." The words of this little maid now reach Elisha. They now reach the prophet that is in Samaria. The words of this little maid now reach the ears of the next person that the Lord is going to use in the salvation of Naaman. Can I ask you something? Does that disappoint you? Does it disappoint you that God is going to use someone else in addition to you? And maybe someone else and someone else and someone else in addition to you in the salvation of a soul? It does disappoint you if you see yourself as significant in the Lord's work, as indispensable in the Lord's work, as important in the Lord's work. It doesn't if you see yourself as insignificant and unimportant in the work that the Lord is doing here in the world. It doesn't if you see yourself as a planter or a waterer. It doesn't if you see yourself as nothing. Look over in the New Testament, if you would, at the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's writing to these Christians, and he says something that relates very directly to witnessing for the Lord. At least, it certainly relates to our attitude toward being a witness for the Lord. He says in verse 5, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Now notice his conclusion in verse 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. That's who is something. That's who is worthy. That's who deserves the praise. That's who does the saving. Salvation is of the Lord. But notice verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. What labor is he talking about? I suggest a thought to you. I believe he's talking about planting and watering. That's our labor. Planting and watering. But never, never is our labor giving the increase. Only God can do that. That's His work. And right here is one of the major problems with evangelism in America today. In fundamental churches and schools and ministries, almost the entire emphasis is on getting the increase. On doing what only God can do. The whole emphasis is on soul winning. It scares me every time I hear that terminology. Someone says, "Brother, that terminology is in the Bible. Haven't you ever read Proverbs 11:30? Haven't you ever read where it says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise?" I've read that verse. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you know what the word winneth means? Oh, yes, you say. I know what it means. It means to gain a victory. It means to finish first. It means to be the best. It means to succeed. That's what winning means. That's what the word means in America. That's what the word means in modern day evangelism. That's why I understand that a very famous preacher began his radio broadcast by saying that he was not the world's greatest soul winner yet. But he was going to be. That's not what the word winneth means in Proverbs 11:30. If you look it up, you'll find that it means to take. It means to lay hold of. The word winneth in Proverbs 11:30 has nothing to do with gaining a victory over your fellow believers. It has nothing to do with finishing first and being the best, as though witnessing was some sort of competition to be won. And yet that is the emphasis in so many fundamental churches and ministries. And in the effort to win souls and give the increase and get the numbers, people are emotionalized and processed and pressured until they are one to Christ. And then they become a candidate for baptism and church membership. And what they really are is a number in the measure of the winning, in the measure of the victories, in the measure of the success of a preacher or a church or a ministry. But in so many cases, what they really are is a false professor. A lost person that's put on a Christian veneer. A proselyte who has become twofold more the child of hell. I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but I'll say it anyway. I hope you'll understand what I mean. We don't need to be teaching people to be soul winners. We don't need to be teaching people to get the increase. The increase is what God gives. It belongs to Him and Him alone. Salvation is of the Lord. What we need to be teaching people to be is soul planters and soul waterers. And what's instructive here is after verse 8, in verse 12, Paul starts talking about rewards. Rewards like gold and silver and precious stones. I wonder how you get those rewards. I wonder if it could be that you get them by being a planter. I wonder if it could be that you get them by being a waterer. The fact that the Lord is going to use someone else in addition to you in the salvation of a soul doesn't bother you if you understand that witnessing for the Lord allows you to enter into other men's labors. Look back at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is perhaps the chapter in the Bible on the subject of witnessing. And since I have absolutely no concept of time, I know that we spent a good deal of time. I know that we spent a good deal of messages maybe a year or so back here in John chapter 4. But what you find when you read this chapter and the verses that we want to look at here because of for the sake of time, what you find is that this chapter is in perfect harmony with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." I want us to go back to 2 Kings chapter 5 because all of these elements in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and John chapter 4 are here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Think about it. This little maid planted. She planted. She said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Elisha watered. This little maid sowed. Elisha reaped. This little maid labored. And Elisha entered into her labors. And I'll tell you something that is so easy to miss. What did this little maid plant? What did she sow? What was her labor? Give us those 20 words. Those 20 words. "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." 20 words spoken from a heart that was little and weighted. Folks, little is much when God is in it. And God took those 20 words and used them to get Naaman to the next person that he was going to use in his salvation. That person was Elisha. And what did Elisha do? He watered. He reaped. He entered into another person's labors. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but I think it's just fascinating. How did he do all that? How did he water? How did he reap? How did he enter into another person's labors? He did it by speaking, guess how many words? 20. Look at them. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. The message is getting more pointed and more direct as it moves along. The little maid, would to God that my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. God used those words to get Naaman to Elisha. And Elisha said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. The message gets very specific at that point of exactly what he needs to do. That's how God works. He moves people along from a word spoken by a little maid to a message, short message, but a message preached by a prophet. Think about what we have here, though. We have a little maid. We have a great prophet. But what do we have? He that soweth and he that reapeth rejoice together. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're equal. And how are they equal? So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. The little maid is nothing. Elisha's nothing. Nothing and nothing are equal. The only one who is something is God that giveth the increase. I believe that what we have here in 2 Kings 5 is what it means to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins with a little and weighted heart. A heart that's willing to be nothing. A heart that understands that it's unimportant and insignificant. A heart that's willing to be a planter. A heart that's willing to be a waterer, a sower or a reaper. A heart that understands when we have an opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are entering into other men's labors. I hope tonight that we're willing to ask the Lord to give us that kind of heart. That kind of heart. A heart that's willing to speak 20 words when the opportunity presents itself. 20 words isn't a long message. It takes maybe 5 or 6 seconds to say 20 words. But oh, the impact. When they are spoken from a prepared heart and they're heard by an almighty God, and He's able to take them and use them. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You again tonight for this little maid. And we pray that we might consider these thoughts that she presents to us. And that these things might help us to see the importance of being a planter, a waterer, a sower, a reaper. The importance of understanding that we're not significant in the Lord's work. The importance of understanding that salvation is of the Lord. And as You give us opportunity to witness to people, You're allowing us to enter into other men's labors. To enter into other words that have been spoken. Other witnesses that have been given. Help us tonight to be grateful that You're willing to allow us to be laborers together with You. And we pray that we might be faithful with the opportunities that You give us to to be a witness for you. Where we are in the context of our work. We might be used of you and be faithful till you come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.